Today I'm using as my theme, making change happen. For God desires to use every Christian to make positive change in our world. Every Christian.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Following his teaching of the so-called Beatitudes, Jesus continued with his Sermon on the Mount, giving two important characterizations that are true of every believer, whether they walk in faith or not. These characteristics tell the story of why he left us here after he saved us. And this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will open up this text in Matthew 5 and explain the meaning of these two very important, even essential characteristics in order that we might more perfectly understand our responsibilities while here on earth. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Making Change Happen.
John was riding in the back seat of a taxi, and he tapped the driver on the shoulder to ask him a question. And the driver screamed, lost control of the car, and crashed and hit a wall. John told the driver he was very sorry, but he didn't realize that just a gentle tap from behind would scare him so much. The driver responded, "Sir, it's really not your fault. Today is my first day as a cab driver." He said, "For the last 25 years, I've been driving a hearse." Can you imagine? For 25 years, he had been driving with dead people behind him. And now someone had tapped him from the back. You'd have been scared yourself. You know, change can be very scary. As a result, it's estimated that 30% of the population is resistant to change. Are you resistant to change? 30% of the population is resistant to change. But you know, if things didn't change, a trip from New York to London, a round trip, New York, London, back to New York, you know, it would still be a 12-day boat ride, as it was in the 1850s. But today, you can go to London and come back in the same day. Can you imagine it would take you a month to make the round trip, you know? 12 days in each direction. A whole month is gone by the time you got back. Now you can do it in a day. I tell you, when the first computer came to Jamaica in the early 1970s, I still remember because I was one of those who got a chance to take a look. It was a very restricted area. The computer was so big, it filled up a huge room. Well, some of you young people don't know about that. Back when computers came up, the computer filled up the whole room, and it's a room that had special air conditioning and special electric supply because they couldn't depend on Jamaica's air supply, and the computer had to be kept cool all the while. But you know, as big as that computer was, it would have taken, listen to this, I actually worked it out, it would have taken 5 days to process data your laptop can process in 1 minute. That massive computer would have taken 5 days to do what your computer, your laptop, can do in a minute. I'm so glad things have changed. How about you? Today I'm using as my theme, making change happen. For God desires to use every Christian to make positive change in our world. Every Christian. Don't think God wants you to just sit on the bench. God wants to use every Christian to make change happen, to make positive change in our world. And as we consider this very important theme, I'd like to zero in on the verses that were read to us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, where the Word of God says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Today's message is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount series that began with the Beatitudes. So write this down. As I previously shared, the Sermon on the Mount includes some of the most important lessons Jesus taught and begins in Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes and continues to the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And as Jesus sat on the Mount of Beatitudes and taught his disciples, there are two very significant things he said in Matthew 5, 13 and 14 that deserve our attention. And this is where I'm focusing today. So write this down. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said that born-again Christians are what? Are the salt of the earth. A born-again Christian is the salt of the earth. And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said that born-again Christians are the light of the world. So if you're a born-again Christian, I preface it with born-again because there are a lot of folks running around saying, "I'm a Christian," but they have never been born again. Jesus says, you must be born again. We'll get to that as we move along. If you're a born-again Christian, write this down. The day we were born again, God made us the salt of the earth and the light of the world so that we can be a godly influence for him. Amen? Amen. Now, most of us have no idea how valuable salt is. You may wonder, why in the world is Jesus picking salt? What's the big deal about salt? Salt is much more significant than we might realize. God is actually communicating a lot of us to us through salt. So you see, the day we were born again, most of us, as I was saying, have no idea how valuable salt is. But did you know that salt is so valuable? Stay with me now. More wars have been fought for salt than wars that have been fought for gold. Does that surprise you? There have been more wars fought to get control of salt than wars that have been fought to get control of gold. So Jesus didn't say you are the gold of the earth. He has says you are the salt. I'm going to share with you three things that I believe God is trying to communicate with us when he tells us we are the salt of the earth. The day we were born again, we were made the salt of the earth. On October 2nd, 1864, one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War was fought in Saltville, Virginia. You heard me right. There is actually a place, a town in Virginia called Saltville. And it's Saltville because of the amount of salt that's mined there. In 1864, 2,800 Confederate soldiers squared off against 4,500 Union soldiers in one a battle that's recorded as one of the worst atrocities on U.S. soil. By the time the morning lit the next morning, 2,000 people were dead, fighting over salt. So why would Jesus call Christians the salt of the earth? I love salt because of the flavor. But I discovered that salt is essential for human life and that we humans cannot survive without salt. Did you know that? For salt is essential for nerve and muscle function and the regulation of fluids in the body. So although we don't need a lot of salt, we all need salt. So here's the first significant thing I'd like us to write down. As the salt of the earth, God uses us as his channels to impart eternal life. Are we getting that? As the salt of the earth, God uses us as his channels to impart eternal life. Without salt, a person will die physically. And as the salt of the earth, God has committed to us the only message of eternal life. God has commissioned every Christian to spread the message of salvation, and we do great evil when we keep the gospel to ourselves. You're quiet on that one. But there should be a big amen there, because we do evil, and sad to say, the majority of the Christian world, although we are the salt of the earth, we're not doing our job. We're not sharing the life transforming message of the gospel. Those of us who are born again are the salt of the earth and the only ones to whom God has given the privilege and the responsibility of proclaiming his message of salvation and eternal life. And the big question God wants to ask us this morning, regardless of our age, teenagers, this question goes to you as well. Are you being salt? Are you sharing the gospel with your friends? Are you impacting your little corner for Jesus? First, God uses salt. God is using us as his channels to impart eternal life. But here's the second thing about salt we don't want to miss. As the salt of the earth, God expects our life and witness to have a preserving effect on society. As the salt of the earth, God expects our life and witness to have a preserving effect on society. Turn quickly to Psalm 14. Hold your finger right where we were, but we just went over to Psalm 14 just for a minute. Psalm 14, verse 1 to 3. We're just going there for a minute. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if you're listening, if you're one of those and you came here this morning with the mindset that there is no God, the Bible actually tells you what God regards you as. Because the Bible says it is the fool that has said there is no God. Let me just stop there and say a few things I didn't even intend to say. But think of how foolish you would be to say there is no God. As if you have explored every iota of this entire universe and realize there is no God. You know so little. All of us know so little. Anybody who dares to say there is no God, they're making a fool of themselves, because they're speaking about something they don't know. You say there is no God because you have never come into contact with the living God. I can tell you assuredly, there is a God. Amen. And I know that I know he lives, because Jesus lives in my heart. Amen. And he has made a difference. You ask me how, the song says, I know he lives. I know Jesus lives. I know God lives, because he lives in my heart. Hallelujah. And he has transformed my life by his power. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men. Perhaps you realize right now, as you examine your life is messed up. What God is saying, hey, don't worry, because it's messed up. Because that's what sinners do. They've done abominable works. There's none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not even one. Although the world may say that you're doing good, God says, no, listen, our goodness is not as good as it needs to be when in the sight of a holy and majestic God. There is none who does good, no, not even one. That's God's indictment. God says there is no one who does good. We were all born messed up. And were it not for the grace of God, we'd all be heading headlong into hell. But by his grace, hallelujah, by his grace, God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light and has entrusted to us, believers in Jesus Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. The privilege of calling men and women to salvation in Jesus, and the question for every Christian today. Listen, if you are saved, if you're not saved, listen, you need to get saved. But listen, for those of us who have come to Jesus, are you involved in spreading this life-transforming message? You are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. And as the salt, we can no longer sit on our bench silently, for God is using us as his only channels to impart eternal life. Are we getting that? As the salt of the earth, we are the only channel that God is using to impart eternal life. But as I said, as the salt of the earth, God expects our life and witness to have a preserving impact on our society. God expects us to make impact, positive impact. Jesus was speaking from a mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee. So many of those listening would have been fishermen. In fact, the fishermen were coming in, and a lot of them would probably have come to listen to Jesus speak. And they all knew that salt was a preservative. How many people know that salt is a preservative? They all knew salt was a preservative. Today, if you want to store something to use it another time, what do? Where do you put it? In the refrigerator. And some of us even blessed to have, I guess in America, some parts of the world, they don't have a refrigerator. I remember when I was in Kenya one time, I was so desperate for a little ice. It was so hot. Oh, my goodness. Just a little ice. But you realize how hard that was to get in some places. You may think, we take things for granted so much. Ice was a luxury. Ice was a luxury. That's all I was dreaming of. Can you imagine you go to bed at night and the only thing you're dreaming of? Just one cube of ice, Lord Jesus. Just a cube of ice. But salt is a preservative. The only reason these men had meat all year is because they were using salt to preserve what they were catching. We are the salt of the world, of the earth, the Bible says. We're not the salt of the salt shaker. Amen? Some Christians are like salt in the salt shaker, not having any impact. It's all stored away. It's been securely locked away. But God wants us to have a spiritual impact on our decaying world. But we need to get out of the comfort of our salt shaker and start connecting with those who need the Savior. Am I right about that? Young people, teenagers, old folks like me, we need to realize, particularly if you're moving along in years, time is running out. But young people, time is running out for everybody, because listen, it ain't long before the Lord Jesus comes. Time is running out. We cannot continue to drag our feet and continue to put it off. We need to get involved. And Jesus is saying to us today, he's speaking to each of us today, and he's saying, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? We've got to stop letting our fear control us. Because listen, God will give us the strength to do what he wants us to do. It was so good last Sunday to listen to our teens give their report about their ministry in Jamaica. How many of you enjoyed that? And listen, it was so exciting for me to sit and listen to share the thrill. I could sense the excitement some of them had as they talked. In fact, when they were asked what was the highlight for them, a few of them said the highlight for them was to lead somebody else to Jesus. Have you ever led anyone to Jesus? It's time. If we did a survey, we'll find there are a lot of individuals who sit here, who come regularly, but they have never led anyone to Jesus. My friend, it's time. God wants to use each of us to touch our world. And young people who went to Jamaica, you don't have to wait for the next mission trip to do it. You can do it right here. You can do it right here. One of the challenges a church faces today is that ministry is often defined by what we do while we're inside the walls of the church. So we only do ministry in the wall. And if the church has a mission trip, we'll do ministry up there. But my friend, that's not God's idea. We are the salt of the earth. Ministry must happen where the people are. We must recommit to sharing Jesus when we leave these walls. We need to share the salt outside the salt shaker. We must take the message of Christ to our workplaces, to our schools. We must share it with our friends and family, for Jesus is the only hope of the world. Amen? First, as the salt of the earth, God uses us as his channels to impart eternal life. But the second significant thing about earth, about salt, is as the salt of the earth, God expects our life and witness to have a preserving effect on society. And here's the third thing. As the salt of the earth, God expects our lives to display the holiness of Christ. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.